But it came to pass at the time when Saul's daughter should have been given to David, that she was given unto Abdiel, the to wife. And Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David. Now, this one of the girls, and it wasn't Meribah, it was Michal, Saul's daughter. She really loved David, and they told Saul, and the thing pleased Saul. Okay, let's see what happened here. And Saul said, I will give him her, that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Wherefore Saul said to David, thou shalt this day be my son-in-law in the one of the two. And Saul commanded his servants, saying, commune with David secretly, and say, behold, the king hath delight in thee, and all his servants love thee. Now therefore be the king's son-in-law. Verse 23 and 24. And Saul's servant spoke those words in the ear of David, and David said, seemeth it to you a light thing to be a king's son-in-law, seeing that I am a poor man and lightly esteemed? And the servants of Saul told him, saying, on this manner spoke David. Verse 25 and 26. And Saul said, thus shall you say to David, the king desires not any dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines to be avenged of the king's enemies. But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. So he's going to send him out to kill 100 men. But when his servant told David these words, it pleased David well to be the king's son-in-law. And the days were not expired. Okay, verse 27 and 28. Let's see what David did. Wherefore David arose, and he went, he and his men, and he slew of the Philistines 200. And David brought their foreskins. These guys killed them and cut off their foreskins. And they gave them in full tale to the king, that he might be the king's son-in-law. And Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, to wife. And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. Now then, when she loved him, he created a good, holy soul tie with his wife. So he's come from a good soul tie with David and Jonathan. Now then, he's got a good soul tie with Jonathan, a bad one with Saul, and now that he's married to the daughter, and he's generated a good soul tie with her. And then let's go to, after that, let's talk about, now that David is married, he will make a soul tie with his wife. So let's go to the scripture in Ephesians 5, 28 through 33, and let's see what happens when you get married, and this kind of soul tie that you're supposed to have here. Ephesians 5, 28 in the King James Bible. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Now see, when a man gets married to a woman, he's supposed to love her like he loves himself. Now, there's a lot of men don't do that. I don't know whether these men never have learned how to love themselves or whatever, but they have never generated that love for that wife. But it says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies, and he that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord does the church. You know, you don't want to be like the guy, and this was a joke, but I've actually seen this happen for real. People come to me for marriage counseling, and they've been married 20 years. And the woman, she's just brokenhearted. I mean, you know, she don't have any joy of any kind. And I said, ma'am, what's wrong with you? She said, well, my goodness, my husband don't love me. He looked at her and said, I do love you. She said, no, you don't. He said, yes, I do. She said, you never tell me. He said, woman, I told you when I married you 20 years ago, I love you. If I ever change my mind, I'll let you know. For you girls, is that enough? It's one time every 20 years, that ain't enough, is it? How often do you girls want to be told you're loved? At least once every day, right? Three or four times would be okay, wouldn't it? It's amazing how that women are totally different than men. Men can go through their whole life and if somebody, another man or something, never tells you that he loves you, it's not that big of a deal. We can live without it. But we got to have respect. Men have to have respect. Women, they can live without respect. They can't live without love. That's just the way God made y'all girls. That's the way you're made. You can't live without it. Now then, in Ephesians 5, 28 and 29, it says, okay, verse 30 and 31. Let's go on there. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Anytime you see the word joined or bound or whatever, this you're generating a soul tie, good or bad. But in this case right here, a man is to be joined to his wife whenever they get married. And then verse 32 and 33, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence or respect her husband. Isn't that amazing that God knows that the wife is, he didn't tell her to love him, did he? He says, for you to reverence or respect your husband. Somebody says, what does that mean? Well, let's say, for instance, you call your husband, he's at work, and you say, honey, the toilet won't flush. It's broke. He said, no problem. When I come home this afternoon, I'll stop by the store, I'll get a new flush valve, that thing's been giving a little problem, and I'll put a new one in there, and it'll work like a brand new one when I get through with it. So he walks in that afternoon, she's got four of her friends over for tea. They're sitting there talking about women things, and he comes busting through the door with his sack of stuff in his toolbox. And she says, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to fix that toilet. She says, you might as well call the plumber. You know you can't do things like that. You know what she just did to that man? She just slapped him in the face in front of four women. And next time she wants something, she's going to wonder why she ain't going to get it. She didn't respect him. Didn't respect him at all. When he come through that door, this is what she should have said. Oh, there's my wonderful husband. You see, he's got that part for the bathroom. He's got that toolbox. And I guarantee when he gets through, it'll be fixed perfect. I guarantee because I'm married to the best guy in the world. Man, that guy could have fixed, he could have built a mountain after a woman talked like that. Do you girls know where I'm coming from? You need to make that man feel like a man. But if you don't, you're going to generate some bad things in there. And do you know these things that we do wrong is going to make either him or you sick? Eventually, anytime you disobey what God tells you to do in his word, it's going to bring sickness and pain and eventually death into your physical life. I mean, you read the Old Testament all the way through. Every time people disobeyed, it began eventually to bring sickness and disease into their bodies. And eventually that sickness and disease bring forth death. And of course, the New Testament tells us the very same thing. Sin brings forth death. And it still works like that today. So anytime that a man marries a woman, first of all, we are members of his body. A man and a woman should never get married that both of them are not a member of the body of Christ. I don't understand how we can be Christians and miss these things. I don't understand why the churches don't teach this to all people that, you know, that especially got a lot of young people in it. Before you get married, you want to make sure that the man or the woman that you marry, men, if you're going to go out dating, the first thing you do, you see a beautiful girl, you think, man, I think I'd love to go with her. Now, don't say, I'd love to go have sex with her. That's not the deal. Not at all. If you got that kind of mentality, you got everything wrong and you need to get right with God and you need to repent of your sins and you need to change right now. Your goal should be, in fact, God does it right. Man does it wrong. Man goes out and he dates a woman. And then he goes there and dates and then he starts petting, touching her where he's not supposed to touch her. And then they get married. God's way is you get married, and then you date, and then you get to touch. That's God's way. But that's not the way man does it. But you know, you can go back and check the Israeli law and the Jewish law, and when a man and a woman were to get married, whenever they saw somebody, if a man saw a woman, he said, ooh, I'd like to make this girl my wife. So he goes and gets the best price he can get. Maybe it's three horses or four horses and $100. And he takes it over and sets $100 down before her daddy and said, them four big stallions out there, they're yours if you'll let me have your daughter. The daddy looks at the boy. He looks at the price and says, "You mean you don't think she's worth more than that?" A herd of cows, yeah. A herd of cows, whatever. And he looked at the price. He said, "Well, okay, it's okay with me if it's okay with her." So she's sitting over there, and he goes and he takes a cup of wine and he sets it on a table before her and says, "Here." And she looks at the wine, she looks at the price, and then she looks at him. He said, "Okay." So man, now then they're engaged. Now then he reaches down and gets her and takes her out for a date. No, no, no. He don't get to touch her. He has to leave the house and go to his father's house and build her a wedding chamber. He can't have no contact with her. He can't touch her. He can't take her to dinner. He can't do nothing until he gets the wedding chamber finished. When he gets the wedding chamber finished, then he can go back. Usually it happens in the middle of the night. He comes running back home to where she is. This usually takes from 1 to 2 years for him to build this little chamber for her. So at the 1 to 2 years, when he gets this all done, one day he says, Dad, let me go get my wife. Dad looks at it, "Are you kidding me? You just got a frame stuck up there. That ain't ready for my new daughter-in-law." Now, why do you think it says the father knows when it's going to be ready? Because the father ain't in no hurry, see. The boy, he's in a hurry. He wants to go get this new wife. But the father says, "No, you get that thing in perfect shape." He works days and days and days, and he's got to that perfect. "Dad, is it ready now?" "Well, I'll tell you what I'll do, son. I'll come in and inspect it tomorrow." "But Dad, I want to go get this beautiful girl." He said, "That's okay. You ain't going to die. When I say it's ready," he comes in. He says, "Uh-oh, a little more paint right here. You know, a little more trim right here. This is not exactly." "Dad, no. You got to get it just like I want it. It's got to be perfect for my new daughter-in-law." So when he gets it perfect, the father says, "Okay, son. It's ready for my daughter-in-law. You can go get her." So he goes out in the middle of the night with his friends. And she's been learning all about him, what makes him happy. She's got her wedding dress. She's got her lamp sitting there. And in the middle of the night, she hears this shout, "Cheryl!"
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled "Holy and Unholy Relationships, Soul Ties," in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.